Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call tonight. We're glad to have you aboard with us tonight. Praise Yahweh. We hope and we trust that we have something informative in the way from the spiritual information highway coming down, downloading, if you will, into your memory banks where that you can recall the great, wonderful promises of Yahweh. The greatest promise we believe that has been overlooked in the Bible, or in history for that matter, is who is Ephraim in Bible prophecy. Tonight we're going to begin the fifth part of the series, and looks like we're going to have to make this a six-part series because we cannot get enough said about this wonderful, glorious land that is called Ephraim, Israel. Now, the mystery is, how could Yahweh create a people for his name and call them by his name and then drive them out of their original country and disperse them into the earth and they become, quote unquote, the lost sheep of the house of Israel? That's exactly what happened, ladies and gentlemen. And today, all across the United States and all across the world for that matter, wherever the Aryan race congregates, we're talking about the white Anglo-Saxon race, which we believe to be Jacob, Israel, dispersed. Now, we're going to cover tonight the glorious beauty of Ephraim in a land promised to him by the prophetic utterance of the scriptures, and only one country, we repeat, only one country fulfills this glorious prophecy that Ephraim, the firstborn, would receive the double portion blessing. Now, the scriptures are very plain in the scriptures where it says also in Genesis 49, we want to hammer this to you. We want to drive it into your identification process that you can automatically recall the message back into your memory system where that the Bible says that the stone shepherd, that is the Messiah, the one that Daniel saw cut out of the mountain, the stone, the one that Peter spoke of in prophecies from the book of Joel, this is the stone that the builders rejected. Isaiah chapter 28 is in reference to that, where he also speaks of Ephraim. Now, Ephraim, or Joseph, if you will, was the one that was always mistreated. Actually, he was exiled, given up for dead, or was tried. They tried to kill him, and then the father had a greater grand design, and we believe that America is predestined to be the land of Ephraim, Joseph, the blessed nation, and the people that came here are primarily descendants from what we call the Scottish, Irish, British, the Sons of Ish. We gathered here as a clan, and to lead that clan in the last days will be the prophets of Ephraim. For out of Jacob, out of Zion, the Bible says, shall come a deliverer, and he shall turn Jacob, that is Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, this word is not synonymous with Judah. When you talk about Israel, you're talking about the 11 tribes to the north of Judah. And then Judah is a single tribe mentioned in Scripture as a separate tribe. He always spoke in relationship other than when he was prophetically given the overall view. And tonight we are going to separate the tribes, if we can, in the message, and show you that only Ephraim had the birthright. Now, that is astounding when you have been led down the primrose path of deceit, as well as myself, for 30 long years, I preached that the Jews were God's chosen people. Now, when I said Jews, I used that word when I should probably use Judah, because the word Jew is a slang word, if you will, and it was incorporated into the Bible in 1 Kings 16 and 6 for the first time. Now, what about identifying the tribe of Judah before Kings 16? They were known as Judah. So the offspring of Judah is the tribe of Judah, and then the other 11 tribes. You see, to make up Israel, you've got to have the whole 12 tribes. Now, nowhere, and I want to emphasize this to my listeners tonight and drive it home, that nowhere in the scriptures, in the prophetic utterance, is it mentioned that Judah will be the birthright tribe to have the status of God's chosen people. They were not chosen. No scripture will ever indicate that the Jews or Judah was God's chosen people. Likewise, if you will turn and look at the evidence is completely west of that promise that Judah would be in the east. If you go west, you go into Joseph, Ephraim. There you will find the prophetic scriptures clearly indicating that Joseph will be the blessed birthright tribe, Ephraim. Now, what does this all mean? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if this turns the apple cart upside down, this makes all the world seem tumbling out of sort, because you have always been talked or told or preached to or convinced, and sometimes I think it just comes natural for us to believe a lie. But the truth comes hard. You must search, you must hunger, and you must reach out and study and pray and fast and do all those necessary things to incorporate truth into your being. See, it doesn't come easy. Truth is not easy. For straight is the way and narrow is the gate where truth flows from the heavens, and a few there be that find it. But broad is the way and wide is the gate, and big is the flow of deceit or tradition or seem right that comes down out of the heavens, and it just seems natural for us to believe that the Jews are God's chosen people when the scriptures does not. And we are willing to debate that in a national forum where we could sound our voice in behalf of the true birthright tribe, Jacob, and his sons. He gave the honor, distinct honor, to Ephraim out of the tribe of Joseph. Now, did Christ come from the tribe of Ephraim? I am declaring, emphatically declaring to you tonight, with all of my knowledge, over 45 years of studying scriptures, that yes, indeed, he did come from the birthright tribe of Ephraim. Pastor Buddy, can you prove it? You may believe it, but can you prove it? Why would I get on national television and go against the tide, or radio, or any other medium of exchange to bring out the truth? Why would I declare it publicly and then be challenged and proven wrong? I am not that big a fool. I am probably foolish for even attempting to do what I'm doing, but I'm not that big a fool to get up and make a fool out of myself and declare that Christ came from Ephraim when there is scriptures to indicate that he came from Judah. Now, was he a Jew? No, he was not. Did he come from Judah? No, he did not. If he did, then he's not come yet. The one that we believe come then hasn't come, because the promise was that he would come out of the birthright tribe of Joseph, Ephraim, where the birthright was to be inherited by the Messiah, Yahweh, Yeshua, in a flesh body. Fulfillment of scriptures. Now we go into the seventh chapter of the book of John, as we will finish tomorrow night. I'll hammer on this good tomorrow night, but I will nail down the coffin lid, and we'll put the straps on it tomorrow night and lock it in place where nobody... You see, the Bible said the truth will stop every mouth. Now, listen to all of these cackling preachers as they cackle their little traditional tune as they are hawking their spiritual intelligence out to a non-suspecting community of Israel, saying that the Jews are God's chosen people. We just granted, we took that and ran with that. It's like the quarterback handing off to the fullback, and then the blockers opening a hole. You see, the traditional translators have opened the holes in the Bible, and then they've handed off this quarterback, in other words, these Jews, these liars of Revelations 2:9, 3:9, have handed off this filthy pigskin of deceit and let the Christian, quote-unquote, so-called Christian world run with the ball, running interference, and the Jews laughing all the way to the sympathy bank of spiritual heaven. Now, why would they do that? It's very plain. Now, look at the serpent, the crafty one, entering in unaware. And ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that we've turned the spiritual fox into the spiritual hen house, and that we have a suffering effect of truth. Truth is stranger than fiction. Truth is actually more scarce than the teeth of a hen. And if you ever open up the beak of a hen or a rooster, you won't see any teeth there. Why? Because they don't have any. And so then truth becomes very scarce. Now, the glorious beauty of Ephraim and the glorious and all-inspiring beauty is displayed in the United States. Now, I've been to a few places in my time, and there's nothing to compare, and I mean nothing in a scale. Now, there's places that are grander than some of the beautiful places we have in America. There's some places in the earth that I would like to go see. I'd like to go and see the pyramids. That's been my lifelong dream, to visit the pyramids and climb up on that giant stone. Well, if I never get to do it, then that doesn't mean that I'm disappointed. I can go there in the imagination of my mind and explore the knowledge that's there simply by sitting in meditation and thinking on these things. I would like to see the world. I'm not a world traveler. I've been very few places and conquered very few things, but I know one thing for sure. Christ came from the tribe of Ephraim, according to the 7th chapter of John, beginning at verse 40. There was a raging controversy among those there then where Christ would come from. One side said that he would come from the tribe of David. Well, we don't dispute that. We believe he did. Well, then you know, buddy, Pastor Buddy, that David was a Jew. He came from the tribe of Judah, therefore he was a Jew. Where does it say he came from the tribe of Judah? Oh, mercy. You see, when we have to put up or shut up, most of the time when you can't read what you're talking, you shut up. So if I read the genetic downline of David, that they came from Ephraim, what would you say about that? Would David then be an Ephraimite? If I could prove that he genetically descended from the sons of Ephraim? Well, you would think so. Well, wonder why then that nobody that I've ever heard of, any preacher on the radio, or for that matter, any preacher out of a pulpit, have I ever heard any preacher saying that David was an Ephraimite? My heavens, he would be laughed out of the church house or off the radio. Well, you see, I'm preaching on the radio, and I'm the only one that's laughing here, praise Yahweh, and I'm laughing at the ignorance of those, as I was, and I can excuse your ignorance because I was ignorant also, but the Bible says the time will come that he will laugh at your calamity and mock when your fear comes. Ladies and gentlemen, you are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You've got to get with the program here, and if Pastor Buddy is wrong, why don't you call him up and point it out to him where he's wrong? If I can point out to you that David's ancestors were Ephraimites, Why can't you accept it? You say, well, Brother Pastor Buddy, if I did that, then the Jews wouldn't be God's chosen people, and I've always believed they was, glory to God. And if I was to not believe it, I would break ranks with my family or my pastor or my church and maybe even my own wife. Well, let me tell you something here, friend. You've got to break ranks with everything that is seeming right and get into what is right. Now, the Bible indicates that you should search the Scriptures. Now, if somebody has spent years and years and years and years ahead of you in the game, an old gray-headed fellow like myself, then if my wisdom and knowledge counts anything, then my services are available to help you to understand that you've been led down a deceitful path and maybe to your own death and destruction. So then if I could throw out the lifeline and tell you that Christ was an Ephraimite, that David himself was an Ephraimite, and the birthright tribe was an Ephraimite tribe, then you would have to get away from the allegiance to the Jews as God's chosen people, and I guarantee you that they throw you out of the church that you belong to. If you're going to a quote-unquote Christian church, and I don't care what brand that you've got stamped on, you'd be a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, moron, kaon, or whatever you are. They would actually literally laugh you out of the congregation if you got up and said that Christ was an Ephraimite instead of a Jew. I can just hear the well-educated, what are those preachers called? You know, they go to these seminaries. They're called Doctors of Divinity. I call them DD, and I got another name for them, and it sure ain't Doctors of Divinity. I call them dumb dogs. Or deceitful devils is a better word. They have sold out for filthy lucre. Yeah, you can make, hey, ladies and gentlemen, if you get in the right church, and I'm talking about just these mainstream Christian churches today, look at TBN, look at the massive appeal that they have as they hurl the Christian message, God's chosen people are the Jews. Now, we've got to love them Jews. They're going to build the temple back in that beloved city of Jerusalem. If they'd only open up their eyes and understand that the Bible don't call Jerusalem a beloved holy city. In reality, it calls that place an infested place of sodomites. Yeah, that's what it calls them. And when I come along and say, well, what's so good about Jerusalem? What makes it so holy? Oh, that's where God's going to build his temple back. Well, now, whatever in the world went with you are the temple and God don't dwell in temples made by hands? Has he made your temple yet? Obviously not. If he was dwelling in you, you'd probably know the truth and you'd have been set free a long time ago. Man, we've got the stupidest people. Israel is some of the most stupidest, gullible, naive. Oh man, I just get so frustrated even trying to analyze what Israel's all about. I don't understand how that people so wise. I mean, we're talking about educated, college-educated people going to church on Sunday and sitting in the choir loft and singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, and still don't even know what the name of the Creator is. I mean, let's get real here, folks. Have you ever heard anybody singing, glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus? No. Why? Because that ain't Yahweh's name. Yahweh's name is forever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. It never did change. Who changed it was the liators, the translators. They actually rejected the name of Yahweh and put in a substitute, a counterfeit. And boy, when I preach on this, I lose friends, I make enemies, because glory to God, Pastor Buddy, I love the name of Jesus. Well, go ahead and love the name of Jesus. I love the name of Eugene. That's my Yahweh's given name. Eugene means well-born. I could brag on that name all day long. But Eugene ain't going to save you. Neither is Jesus. Why? Because he ain't old enough, and neither is Eugene. You see, Jesus is not even, at the most, 500 years old. Wasn't even in the King James original. You say, oh, cocky puck. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't even in the original scriptures. Go get you an original King James Bible And the letter J was not invented yet, 1702, when it came around. So then the original was an I. The I was a substitute for a Y. And then when we transliterate the name sound for sound, we're talking about Yah. Praise him who rideth upon the heavens, Psalm 68:4. And we got most of these people carrying these revised versions of the King James saying, I know it's God's holy word. It's the original Bible right out of God's mouth. Glory to God. Well, you look on the front of the page or the side of the page or inside the page in the commentary, and it says revised. I say, well, what does that mean? Changed. Well, then you've got a change Bible. Something that's been added to or substituted for. Well, in that case, it's not the original, ladies and gentlemen. There's over 22,000 errors in the King James Version alone, and yet today it still stands out to me as the most favorite of all the translations. You say, well, buddy, you just got through spending 5 minutes throwing off on it. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to take what you've got and work with what they have left you and be able, and we're talking about the Bible said line upon line, precept upon precept, Isaiah 28, here a little and there a little, rightly dividing the scriptures, rightly dividing, putting the scriptures back in harmony and in place. We know that they took a lot of things out of context. We do know that they've changed a lot of the wording, and therefore we have nothing but Babylonian mass confusion with the bell box preachers. You know how they love to keep it that way, and when a pastor like Pastor Buddy comes in, oh man, yeah, up goes the guards and down goes the locks, and the old pastor is locked out. Well, here I am down at the bottom of that. I'm going to come back in the second half. I'm going to really kick it up, and we're really going to squeak the tires on this vehicle tonight. Praise Yahweh. The Shepherd's Call, Pastor Buddy. Well, welcome back, folks, to the Shepherd's Call. This is Pastor Buddy. We're live and direct tonight, praise Yahweh. This is December the 20th, 2001, and now we're heading right on down the road of time. Very, very exciting times. We just had a report today that Argentina has failed. The economic system of Argentina has failed. And you see, it's just like a set of dominoes. Look at the scriptures in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelations when Babylon fell. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the great city, New York, was bombed, and over one-third of the financial operation of America, for the world for that matter, fell in one day. And now we're having these reverberation effects, these little tremors, trembling as nations' economies are falling. Now we're watching this very closely. Dr. Gary and I have been discussing this at length, and others that are concerned with this matter, that the formation of the European United States, as they are now bringing out their euro financial system backed up by precious metal. And ladies and gentlemen, America got off the gold standard. We went into bankruptcy in 1933. We've been in bankruptcy ever since, and we are under the Federal Reserve System, and it looks like, possibly, that even the Federal Reserve System could fall as a result of these dominoes that are now tumbling, or maybe better yet, are falling into place for the fall of Babylon. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it still doesn't offset the fact that we are in the most wonderful of all countries in the earth. And, you know, when trouble's coming, you see it coming, and you are warned to flee to the mountains, so to speak, and that's what the scriptures indicate that we ought to do. Well, I'm just as far tucked into the mountains of East Tennessee, the Great Smoky Chain and the Great Cumberland and the Blue Ridge and the Clinch Mountains that are surrounding here, me here in Tennessee. I would suggest that you may find you a mountain range that you could get hit in, praise Yahweh, for there's going to be a time of trouble. Now, let me display for you this great promised the birthright land. Ladies and gentlemen, don't worry. This bad system that we've got, she'll fall, she'll perish. Babylon will fall all across the world, especially in the United States. There shall be a cleansing come upon this land. And you can hear preachers that preach the same thing that I do. They're indicating they are experts in keeping up with the world situation, as I'm not exactly. But they're telling you that there's troublesome times coming for America. I'm talking about two seed line covenant, racial covenant, identity preachers that are giving you the truth right down the middle. So you need to take heed and be also ready. Let me describe for you after. Now, this is a before and after, but I want to show you exactly what this nation is and still is, by the way. And even after the terrible war that's coming, we've survived three. We've had the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and then the third coming World War. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. It will be fought right here on the shores of America. But even after that fact, there'll be a cleansing, and we will still have the most prosperous, beautiful country in the world. Now, let me describe what Yahweh has made his prophetic promises and how he kept his word. The United States, it has the Great Plains, the Great Mississippi River Delta System. It has the Great Lakes, the finest breadbasket and grazing land in the world. It has commercial water base and drainage systems that the whole world envies in the way that is geographically laid out. Topographically, it is amazing. The Great Plains are the greatest area of useful land in the world. Half, now listen to this, one half of the fresh water of the world is contained in the Great Lake systems. Incalculably, it is rich in deposits of iron ore, coal, limestone, and other valuable minerals that lie along this great waterway belt that goes completely through the heartland of America. In this region, it is the world's greatest erected steel and industrial industry that has made and has kept America the strongest and richest nation in the earth. Now, I know that these are in decline and decay, but that is prophesied that would happen. I'll get into that tomorrow night, that the decline of America is imminent, that we are going to fall from grace because the chastisement of Yahweh begins at the house of Yahweh, and that is America. This glorious, beautiful land of Ephraim is this glorious, awe-inspiring beauty called the United States. If you'll take a trip and go through the National Park of Mount Rainier, the Northern Cascades, the glacier in Montana, or into Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons in Wyoming, if you will drop down through the canyonlands, the arches, and the national parks, the Bryce Canyon and the Zion National Park, if you will go to these parks that we have just mentioned or through these lands into Yosemite, Sequoia, the Kings Canyon in California, or Crater Lake in Oregon, if you will visit some of these places, go down toward the Big Sur country along the California coastline and into the Sima Valley where the world's richest deposit of soil is deposited. Some of the greatest grapes grown in the earth are there. We have one of the most awesome wine industries out of America, and we have the produce basket in California and Florida, and in the regions of the heartland of the wheat and the corn through Iowa and Kansas, and I could go on into the Dakotas, praise Yahweh, and give you these glorious, glorious, wonderful places. And if you go into the North Industrial Complex of America, or you come south into this glorious land, it is a land that Yahweh has bequeathed and given to the children of Joseph, Ephraim, Israel in particular. Now, it is the richest land upon the earth. No wonder we are the envy. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a diabolical plot for the Canaanites who have this plan. It's well orchestrated. It's well advertised. There's no secret. This plan is that they would destroy the Aryan white race, and America is the country that they pride themselves to destroy. Now, let's talk about what that Joshua said about Ephraim. Now, Joshua himself, if you look at biblical scripture, Joshua himself was an Ephraimite. Now, why? Isn't he a perfect type? His name was actually not Joshua. In the Hebrew, it is Yeshua, or Yahushua, that was his name, and he was to lead or be a type of a redeemer or a savior or a leader. Ladies and gentlemen, it was absolutely necessary for him to be an Ephraimite because any other was not chosen. Now, let's go to Samuel, the greatest prophet that ever stood in shoe leather outside of John the Baptist and the Messiah himself, who was actually the greatest because they're greater than Solomon and are greater than John, but of prophets born of a woman, Samuel was probably the second most powerful prophet in the era of Israel. He was noted with integrity and intelligence and complete loyalty as a type, a Christ type, if you will, as was Yahshua, as he led the children. And both of these great men were Ephraimites. And if you look at the evidence, and we believe that Yahshua, the Messiah, was also an Ephraimite. And we can prove that his bloodline descendants were Ephraimites as we trace the bloodline of Jesus, as you will know in the King James Bible. I'll use that so that you will understand what I'm talking about. Jesus, if you trace Jesus, his ancestors, into the scriptures and back to the progenitors, then you end up as from the tribe of Ephraim. Oh, it's amazing. Yes, right from my information, Joseph himself was the birthright son that brought in these sons that had the birthright privileges. We're talking about Ephraim and Manasseh, two of the greatest nations to form upon the earth. Great Britain, as I've done covered in prophecy, is England. That is Manasseh. The United States, Ephraim, the greater of the two, the two-four greater one, he shall be greater by twice the standard measuring stick of what Great Britain became. Ephraim became twice as great because he was a birthright, a double portion privileged. And ladies and gentlemen, no other country on the earth, I'll challenge any preacher under the sound of my voice tonight to meet me on this subject, and we will get right down to the nitty-gritty, and we will see what scriptures you can drag out and what scriptures that we can drag on. Praise Yahweh. And the Bible said the word will stop every mouth. Now, on one hand, Ephraim, when he was born, Joseph gave him a name. Now, think about this. Here's what the name Ephraim means. It means because Yahweh hath made me fruitful in the land of suffering. This is the number two son that came forth from the woman. She was not an Egyptian. She was from the priesthood of On, and she was living in Egypt, but she didn't have any Hamite blood in her, ladies and gentlemen. She was a true royal blue-eyed Israelite woman. And Joseph married her and brought forth Ephraim, which means fruitful in the land of suffering. Genesis 41:52. Like his father, Joseph, Ephraim has now become fruitful in the land of his affliction or early or latter suffering. The early colonizers that came into North America underwent extreme privation and serious troubles before the foundation was laid for a new land or a new nation. But the exploits of the voyagers on the Mayflower, most of whom perished en route to the New World, and the harrowing difficulties of the pilgrims and the settlers at Jamestown, and I've been there and visited that wonderful place, in a sense duplicate the earlier sufferings of their forefather Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers and cast into the dungeon of Pharaoh and virtually forgotten. Well, that's just the same type analogy of Joseph. We have been forgotten, but we're coming on in the last days as did Joseph. Now, let me give you a little information about Manasseh. If you will look at Manasseh, on the other hand, the word Manasseh in Hebrew means causing to forget. Now, what kind of a birthright promise would that be, causing to forget? When he was born, Joseph said he named him that because God hath made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. He forgot even his trouble and his father's household. And so Manasseh was named in honor of forgetting the other sons of Jacob as he went about growing corn for the salvation of Israel, the brothers to come. What have we got going on here, ladies and gentlemen? There's going to have to arise someone out of the true tribe, the birthright tribe, the certified, if you will, the bondified. The one that was chosen scripturally is out of Ephraim, and we have not had anyone out of Ephraim to come forth and to stand and to declare the whole counsel. And yet we have these wonderful preachers today in racial covenant, two seed line, now bringing the truth strong. Yahweh will raise up an army of Ephraimites that will bring forth the revelation of truth, and we will establish the new kingdom in the latter days that will reign over all of the earth. Now, notice this, that the name reveals the nature of Manasseh. Written, the older of the two sons has truly forgotten all his father's household and even his national identity. Despite all the evidence around them, there are historical records and legends of Jeremiah bringing the king's daughters to Ireland, where Princess Tia married into the royal line already established by the early Israelites. There was the name Tara, the ancient Irish capital meaning Torah. There was the Stone of Scone. And by the way, Jacob's Pillar Stone has its tradition in history, and I have a two-hour videotape on that, Jacob's Pillar. If you would like to have that, you can simply order that from the Shepherd's Call radio broadcast, and we'll get that out to you. Now think about this. Just a few years back, for the first time in over 1,000 years, the Stone of Scone, we're talking about the Bethel Stone, the one that Jacob slept on and was given the promise at Luz, where the promise of covenant was made that he would give Jacob and his seed to become as the dust of the earth and the sand of the sea or the stars in heaven. This has only been fulfilled through two nations, Manasseh and Ephraim, and as they scattered, and now we have made place for the other tribes, actually Judah, settled in Germany and into the northern areas north of Germany, and then the tribe of Dan went into Denmark, which is named an Iceland, and Issachar and all these tribes, and Reuben into France and into Spain, and we could go on and go on, and where the disbursement of these tribes, and then the gathering and the regathering in the last days, and it mentions it's to be turned over three times. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got one more turning. That stone turned from Jeremiah's, bringing it out of, and the tribe of Ephraim, by the way, were guardians of that precious stone. This is the same stone that Moses struck in the wilderness and brought forth water. It is 26 inches long, it is 8 inches wide and 4 inches thick, and it weighs over 400 pounds. Now, it is an awesome stone, praise Yahweh, and this is the stone that Moses struck, and out of it came gushes of water to water as much as 4 million people and their livestock. Ample supply, unending flow from both ends of the stone when he struck it. My, this is awesome. Most people think that Moses just went up on the side of the hill, picked out a rock, and struck it. No, no, no. It says the stone. This is the birthright stone marker that was indicated that this belonged to the birthright tribe. It was carried by the sons of Ephraim. There is evidence that this stone has been carried or is actually, could be possibly, a duplicate of the real stone that is hidden away very nicely and tucked away somewhere and reckon where if it was to show up in the United States of America. You wonder what would happen if the Ark of the Covenant was found in Arkansas. Wouldn't that be marvelous? Praise Yahweh. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful if the tomb of David was found? And is it possible that the genetic descendants of the tablets in his tomb could unlock the mysteries of his genetics? Don't you believe that some of these things could happen and overnight this truth could be overturned into reality and the lie could be overturned into deceit, and that is exactly what it is? Yes, these things are coming, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare as we go on into perfection. Now, I'm at the bottom of the hour. My time is gone. My, I could talk on this for the rest of the night till morning come, and still the half wouldn't be told. I'm all charged up. I just don't want to stop, but I'm going to have to stop here tonight. I'll finish it up for you tomorrow night in the six-part series. If you would like to have it, it will be available for you next week. And we will get it right out to you. Praise Yahweh. It'll be six. You can send me a free will offering of any size and request these tapes, and I'll get them out to you. Praise Yahweh. Now, last week, we just concluded the 13-set series in the Star Constellations, and those tapes are ready for mailing. And we will get them out to you. Matter of fact, several people have already ordered. They have already been shipped. If you have ordered tapes from Pastor Buddy on the Constellation Series, I will let you know tonight by radio that all the orders that I have received are in the mail to you by priority mail. So they'll be coming to you just in a day or so. So be looking for those. And we believe that they will be very instrumental in your education for Jacob Israel. Well, Pastor Buddy, my post office box mailing address is 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip is 37824. If you would like to call me, simply call me or send your tithes and offerings if you'd like and call me and say, Pastor Buddy, I want to send you a love offering just for being man enough to preach the truth. If you believe it's truth, then you send me a tithe offering. And if you don't believe it's truth, then you keep your tithes and take it to the bell box. And eat, drink with those, and be merry. We'll see you on down the road. Praise Yahweh. Now, my telephone number is, and you can call me, area code 423-626-2172. I'm available after the show. I can take your calls for a couple hours. I've got nothing better to do than spend my time with you. Praise Yahweh. So let's make it a wonderful occasion. Call me up, and let's talk about these great things. Well, Pastor Buddy, Shepherd's Call. My, I've had a joy being with you tonight. I appreciate you being with me on the Shepherd's Call. Call a friend tomorrow night. We'll be back with the conclusion of Ephraim in Prophecy. See you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Yahweh bless you, Jacob Israel.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Favorite time on this great station. Praise Yahweh.